to maybe 10, 20, 30, 15 years back when we were 5 or 6. Can you go back there right now? Father God, we just invite you to the service today, Father God, that you would take us back there because you have taught the children and infants to worship you, God. Would you bring us back there, Father God? Would you bring us back there? I pray for the mind of Christ, Lord. I pray that I would latch hold of the heart of the Father this morning and be filled with the Holy Spirit to preach the good news, Father God. And that I myself would come as a child. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. John chapter 10, verse 10. All right, Lord. There you go. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This morning, do you feel inhibited from worshiping as a child? I was so privileged to come up here and dance. And, the Lord's been peeling back layers. You know, once it was the lifting of hands. Or standing in worship. You know, and just even a year ago, actually, it was exactly a year ago today. Azusa Now was April 9th last year, where I first began to start to dance before the Lord. And I don't know, something broke within me, a newness, a freshness, you know, like, have you ever been to a game, Dodger game, whatever? I just went to a Dodger game, and they destroyed the Padres, right? And I don't know if you're a Padres fan, sorry. But everybody there is so like, yeah, Dodgers, go, yeah. You know, we come to church sometimes, we're just like, hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. And so this wasn't even my message, but I just want to encourage you, as somebody was praying about coming as a child, come back as a child. Let's come back and allow us to instruct him, allow him to instruct us how to worship him back. So, if you were here, you got a preview that I would be here. But if you were not here and you're wondering, hey, where's Pastor Ryan? Well, you're going to be stuck with me for the next few moments. And I'm so glad to be here. So glad. Palm Sunday. You know, what is that about? The people, God's own people, were worshiping him as King and Savior. And as I stand here, I've been sensing this call in my life for some time, and I'm willing to get up here and fall flat on my face, and I don't believe that's going to happen this morning, but God calls us, and he doesn't call the equipped. Where's Pastor Matt? But he equips the call. So I'm so glad to stand here. And just stand in the grace of the Lord. Because what my righteous deeds, whatever I've done good, is filthy rags. They're just filthy rags. we were talking, Pastor Ryan and I, a few months back before the new year, about, yeah, Pastor Ryan, I want to get up there and talk. And, you know, I had some opportunities on Wednesday. And then, but I was like, I've done Wednesdays before, so that was less of a daunting thing. But a Sunday, that's like the big game. So here I am. And there's obviously a lot more people here on Sunday. And as I thought, this is Palm Sunday. I was like, oh, that's a big day. What am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? And Palm Sunday, you know, we get to talk about Jesus demonstrating his identity for the last 3 years of his life. The love that the Father had for us. The love that he had for us. His earthly ministry was anything but normal. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural is what they got and what they came to expect. And why did he come? He came that we would have life and have it abundantly. And yeah, I've shared some of my testimony in the past, so I don't want to go through all that again. But the Lord has surely done a magnificent work in my life. He's really taken me out of the muck. You know, I was that son that took that inheritance, and I squandered it. And I damaged relationships with my wife and my kids. And, you know, if there was the definition of a bad steward, it was me. I was trying to think, was there a parable of a bad steward? But it would have been my story. Now, I don't want to glorify my sin or the enemy, but purely about the grace of God. And it's here for me. Like, think about King David. He was the worshiper. He was the man after God's own heart. He was a murderer, adulterer, conspirator. I'm sure a few other things that end with O-R. yet he was a man after God's own heart. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a man after God's own heart. And I think that's what he wants all of us to be. Men and women after God's own heart. You know, as we walk around, like Jesus walked around, you know, he was moved with compassion. He saw the blind. He saw the sick. He saw those that were, possessed by demons. He saw the paralyzed. And he just said, get up. Be gone. Be healed. What do you want me to do? Be it done according to your faith. And the anchor of this message, John 10:10, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's NIV. NLT, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. English Standard, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Berean, I have come that they may have life and have it in all its fullness. God's Word Translation, I came so that my sheep will have life and so that they will have everything they need. He came that we would have life abundantly. And, you know, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, all those things that he went across, you know, in his ministry, we come across that every day. We come across the oppressed. We come across the brokenhearted. Are we walking in that same compassion? That's the man after God's own heart. And I've been convicted many times where I was just doing my thing and somebody else's thing got in the way. But, you know, during that ministry, he called his disciples, you know. It's like we're living in that three-year time, in a sense. Like, we are disciples that he's been calling us. And he sent his disciples out with authority. And so, that we may have life and have it to the fullness. Out of all the miracles Jesus did, healing was the most. You know, healing was the most. Followed by that he demonstrated his power over the laws of nature. You know, he walked on water. He cursed the fig tree, and this is right after Palm Sunday. He cursed the fig tree. And then his disciples were like, Master, look at this fig tree, it withered away. And he told them, you can do this. I assure you that if you tell this mountain to move from here to there, that it will be tossed into the sea. And that's my king. You know, my king was the healer of the paralyzed man, the restorer of the withered hand, the one that the centurion approached him. Lord, can you heal my servant? He's like, no, don't even go. Just say the word, because I'm a man of authority. I know that if I say something, it'll get done. Jesus said, I haven't even seen such faith in all of Israel. And that's That's the thing Jesus wants from us, our faith. Our faith. You know, I had a conversation with some relatives and about faith. About faith. And I was sharing my faith. And, you know, anybody can refute, like, different articles, right? But at the end of the day, it boils down to our faith, you know? And when you look at so many of the miracles Jesus did, he said, be it according to your faith. And so my king heals according to my faith. Now, I know he's sovereign, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit, you know, but he converted water into wine. He calmed the storm. He took, and he's taken my two fish, five loaves, and he's going to give you, did you come hungry? We're at the buffet. That was another word I got right before I came up here, that we need to come hungry, because I actually did kind of feel hungry because I didn't eat breakfast. But the disciples, you know, Jesus was talking to the woman in the well, right? Sorry. Okay. All right, Jesus was talking to the woman in the well, right? And, you know, I don't even want to focus on that, but his disciples came up afterward, and they're like, hey, master, you haven't even eaten anything. Come on, let's go get some food. He's like, no. My food is to do the will of God. My food is to do the will of God. Jesus was all about doing the will of God. You know, I talked about his miracles. He also came for forgiveness of sins. That woman that was at the well, he just basically read her mail and said, you need to repent. How about, and I know I'm kind of bouncing around before and after Palm Sunday, but right before Palm Sunday, as he was coming down, Zacchaeus was there. He was like one of the chief tax collectors. And he heard about Jesus, and he came with repentance. He's like, yeah, you know, whatever I have, I'm going to give half of it to the poor. And if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to give it over. I'm going to pay them back four times. You know, that's the repentance. And the natural thing that we should come to as we approach Jesus, you know, like he's coming on the clouds with fire. He's coming. He is already coming. Come back to that. So I really got a taste for what Pastor Ryan goes through on a week-by-week basis. You know, I told my wife right before I got up here, it's like having a baby. So, you know, it's a lot. You know, it's like I put all these, and I'm sure it's nothing like that because I don't know. So women don't hate me. I can feel the daggers. But, you know, it's something like that. It's something like that where there's a lot of preparation, a lot of time that goes into something like this. But yet, you know, I don't want to trust in my own ability to prepare. All the preparation I did, it means nothing, because I got an exhortation this morning, you know, that we've been building layer upon layer, precept upon precept, you know, just coming to know about Jesus, just taking little steps, another precept, a little step of service. I'll go back about 2008. I went to Iraq in 05, 06, got back, I made it, and I praise God for that.
Amen.
And shortly thereafter, you know, I went on this like downward spiral. And in 2008, God really woke me up. I got an encounter with the love of God like never before, and He showed me how much pride and self righteousness I had, and He couldn't use that. He couldn't use that. And as I saw a man who was wearing a white robe, a priest, get in front of a cross and confess his self-righteousness and pride, that's what broke me. Because I thought I was doing things good, and I was so wrong. Jesus couldn't use that, but once he got that on the table, on the surface, he confessed it, the battle wasn't over, of course. You know, it's not over. But that's what set the stage, you know, receiving the love of God and repenting. So here we are. Now we're at the day before Palm Sunday. I guess I probably should have brought my Bible up here, but it's okay. We talk about right before he got up here, the blind Bartimaeus. You know, that wasn't, it was on the way to Bethany. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do?" "I want to see." Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And even for us that aren't blind, like that should be our cry. That should be our cry. Also, Jesus, a couple months back, had raised Lazarus from the dead, right? And the day before is when Mary anointed his feet with perfume, with that alabaster jar. That was on the Sabbath day. On Palm Sunday is when the crowd gathered. You know, it was a large crowd of disciples, the ones that had witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead, the ones that had witnessed Mary anointing Jesus' feet, also his disciples. And even there was the Pharisees there. And some of them just wanted to be there because they wanted to see actually Lazarus more than Jesus. Like, did this man really raise him from the dead? And did this man really raise me from the dead? Do you ever ask yourself those questions? So anyway, he sends his disciples out to grab a donkey. And if you want to follow along, they eat the triumphal entry is recorded in all four Gospels. But I'm going to do something unorthodox. I'm going to grab a Bible. Here, I'll just grab one of these. Let's take a look at John's account. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I believe it's John chapter 12, verse 12. Give you a second to get there. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, that was the feast where Mary anointed Jesus' feet, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered the things that were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And in other Gospels, you know, they say in response, "Hosanna, the son of David. Hosanna, save us, King, son of David." That's in Matthew. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Mark says, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Luke, "The whole multitude rejoiced. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And John, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the king of Israel." The people were acknowledging that Jesus was king and Lord. And the Pharisees rebuked him. It's in Luke 19:40. "I tell you," the Pharisees rebuked him, and Jesus said, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this? This is the prophet Jesus." All right. If you didn't know, Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives. He came from Bethany to the Mount of Olives, and that's where they laid down their cloaks. That's where they laid down the palm branches. And I've never been to Jerusalem or to Israel, but I saw some pictures, and it's kind of neat how you can see the whole landscape. There's even a temple where you see it's like a perfect framed picture of Jerusalem. And as Jesus came down there, he wept. Because even the people that were there, and the people that he was going to, they didn't understand. And there's times when we're here saying, "Yeah, Hosanna, yeah, Jesus. And we don't even understand sometimes. We don't even understand what we're doing. And that's why I feel it's so important to go back to coming as a child. You know, if I had my son Uriah, he's, 9? Yes. Sorry, I've got a huge quiver and their birthdays, their ages keep changing all the time. So, if I came to my son Uriah and I had him read the miracles of Jesus, he would accept them. He wouldn't say, "Oh, that's not for today." He wouldn't say, he wouldn't rationalize it away. When I read him, the Gadarene demonic, Mr. Elliott's favorite story. I don't know where you are, but you're here. There you are. Jesus came on the scene, and the demons recognized when he got there. "Why are you here, Son of David?" And Jesus cast him out like that. Are there demons? Did the demons just vanish? Or are they still doing stuff? And when we hear about somebody that's sick unto death, we don't have to pray, "God, if it's your will." And granted, I'm not saying that I'm the Holy Spirit and in charge, but we don't have to pray, "God, if it's your will." Jesus said, "You will do these things and greater." Because there's people around that are sick, that are paralyzed, whether physically or spiritually. There's people that God has put you in their midst as a person that's going to have a divine appointment to say, "Get up." I've been starting to identify with Peter. As we look about, we read the Gospels and we hear about what Jesus did. I love what Peter does, the boat on the water, He saw Jesus coming on the water, and he's like, "Lord, if it's you," he didn't say that, but Jesus is like, "Hey, what do you want me to do?" He's like, "Lord, call me on the water. Lord, call me on the water." He just asked to do what Jesus did. And, there's something in us as people that's been in me that we have to fight, which is to say, no, Jesus doesn't do that. You know, if we go into a situation thinking, I don't know if Jesus does this, we've already lost the battle in a sense. And I think that's exactly what those demons are doing. They're latching on. It's like, I was saying it was like having a baby. It was a challenge for me yesterday to be prepared. And I spent so much time saying, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? Okay, I'm going to recount. Palm Sunday. You know, it's Palm Sunday. I guess I should talk about that. And I spent so much time. I got up at 2 a.m. yesterday, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I guess I really want to go to sleep, but I feel like this is the time I got to study. So I really dug into Palm Sunday like never before. You know, I learned so many different things about Palm Sunday. And great, you know, praise God for that. But the anchor that God started revealing to me was John 10:10. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and life abundantly. You know, and, you know, we're supposed to be out there, you know, as a Christian, as a disciple. He sent his disciples out, you know, he said, go out there, you know, preach the good news. He's like, Lord, you know, the fields are white with harvest. Pray to the Lord for people, for workers. And he says, go now, you know. And that's why I'm so glad what we're going to be doing in about an hour and 15 minutes. I've been getting up here on Wednesdays and talking about evangelism and kind of God's been shaping that, what that actually means and how you walk that out, And it's really having the compassion of Christ, you know, having the compassion of Christ. And I got rebuked and by the Lord when there was a couple times where I didn't do it. And like, who am I serving then? You know, am I serving myself? Like what I think I should be doing? Because I know the Holy Spirit. I know I have the Holy Spirit. You know, and if you've accepted the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. And he convicts you. And he rebukes you. And he has the word of God that is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction and training in righteousness. When we see the parables and the healings and the miracles of Jesus, we should be, you know, and we should say, how can I serve you, Lord? And yeah, everybody's not going to go out there, you know, maybe not. I can't say that. You know, because, you know, when you read Isaiah, he said, go out there and heal people. So I believe this place, Osborne, you know, that there's something in that, that the Lord is anointing people to pray for healing and to heal people. You know, I believe that with all my heart. You know, as a younger person, I came to know the Lord as a youth, right? And I was baptized when I was 9. I don't remember kind of when I actually accepted the Lord, but I know I was in church. I know I accepted the Lord. I know I got baptized of my own accord. It was an Episcopal church, and they actually went out to the Jordan River, got some water, and they sprinkled me. I was like, all right, cool. I got baptized the same water Jesus did. You know? No, that's my train of thought. Yes. This is so good. Okay, so from a youth, I always felt being drawn to pray for healing. But I never did. Or I did very, very frequently. Or I did with the attitude, you know, if it's God's will, it'll happen. You know, do your job, just help him. And there's something about an honest cry. So please don't say we can't just pray, oh, if it's God's will. Because, you know, God hears the honest cry of a broken and contrite person. You know, praise God that he does. But I'm saying that, you know, if you're hearing my words right now, if you read the Gospels of Jesus, that there's something there that says you can declare, that you can believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. You know, that's how we're saved. Believe in your heart that, my mind's going on. But if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Lord, and confess with your mouth that God raised him, then you will be saved. So there's something about the belief and the confession. And so, you know, if like Pastor Larry had a toe problem, you know, and like maybe I was going to get cut off or something. Sorry, I don't want to like prophesy anything like that. But if I came, if somebody's like, oh man, I got diabetes and they're going to cut off my toes, you know, do we just say, oh brother, you know, I feel real bad for you, you know, God will be with you? No, I'm going to pray with authority and conviction that, dear God, I pray that you rebuke that diabetes in the name of Jesus. You know, that our words mean something. Our words mean something. He didn't save us just so we would go to the Christian retirement home. You know, oh yeah, I'm going to go in the sauna of the worship music and hang out. No. He called us to be servants. He called us to go out there and preach the gospel. He called us to go out there and pray for the sick. He called us to go out there and bind up the brokenhearted. He called us to go out there and cast out the demons. You know, like, let's bring this back to what we're really supposed to be doing here. We're not just supposed to have club church, being like, okay, yeah, hey, brother, yeah, yeah, everything's great. Okay, yeah, go back to my miserable life and ineffectual life. No, you know, God wants us, he's calling us out. He's called us out upon the water. You know, you see, we read, Jesus, if it's you, call me out. I want to heal people. You know, then that's not me building me up. That's me. I see somebody that needs to be healed. So I'm going to pray for them to be healed. You know, it's not about me. You know, I pray for lots of people. I feel the Lord's calling me to pray for people to be healed. And I pray for lots of people that didn't get healed. Well, but I'm still going to keep pressing forward. You know, I have prayed for people that have gotten healed. So, and that's all, that's the Lord's doing. And I see that he says, do that, so I'm going to do it. I see that he says, by his stripes that we've been healed. So if somebody's sick and they need something, I'm going to pray by your stripes, by Jesus' stripes, you've been healed. And I'm going to believe it with conviction. You know, there's in James it talks about, and it's talking about works and faith, right? He said that you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons believe in God. You know, even the demons know, they know what's up. You know, every time we read about Jesus approaching a demoniac, and I was like, that's a weird word, but basically somebody who's possessed by a demon, they instantly recognize, Jesus, why are you here? Why have you come? He said, just get out. You know, and it's as simple as that. We don't have to have this whole exorcism service, you know. I don't even know what that looks like, you know. But we have, our words have authority. Jesus gave it to us. So I can say, get out in the name of Jesus. And it can be that simple. I can say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And it can be that simple. You know, one of the things God was showing me as I was kind of walking out what it means to pray for people to be healed, you know, because I was coming from that double-mindedness where one's like, okay, I'm looking at what the natural sees. Okay, yeah, I'm going to just pray and yeah, it'll happen. And the other thing is like, okay, God said do this. So it's like, it's a double-minded. And in James, it also talks about the double-minded. It says you have to do it with faith, believing that you'll receive. You can't do it with doubt, you know. And so, you know, some of you here have heard about Jesus. You know, there's a man, I don't remember his name, but he talked about, that's my king. You know, and I wish I could recite it just as well as he did, but if you just look at the miracles he did, if you look at the names, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, you know, the one that comforts you, the one that teaches you, the one that corrects, teaches, and rebukes you, the one that's giving you a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's my God. That's my God. And you may not know that person. You may have heard of him. You may have heard of him. But behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away our sin. It's as simple as that. You know, that's why Jesus came. When he says he came that we would have life and life abundantly, you know, we're dragged down by every sin and weight that so easily entangles us. So let's just shake that off. And if you're hearing about this and you're hearing about the awesome things God did, the water to wine, you know, the casting out of demons, you know, there's people that are influenced by demons, you know, there's people that need really bad healing. You look at some situation in your life and you're like, I don't know, I'm just going to trust God. But there's something that you can declare that there's a God that will teach you that there is healing in his wings. And so there's some of you that may just be hearing this for the first time and just being confronted with, what do I do with this person? You know, because they said you can either call he's crazy or he's a liar. You know, but you can't say he was just a good man. Jesus came down here. He's a historical figure. He really existed. He really did these miracles. And so, you know, he said this of himself, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And it's as simple as a confession, as a belief and a confession. We're not justified by our actions. Whether I do preach with fire or whether I'm a good person, that doesn't matter. I'm justified by what he did. The sinless man took on my sin. And that's how I'm justified, because God made him that knew no sin to become sin for me, that I would become the righteousness of God. It's not about me. It's about what Jesus did. And all you have to do is believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, and you will be saved. He said, come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. I shall give you rest. And so, you know, I would like you guys to bow your heads, and I want to pray, you know, and close your eyes and come back. You know, as we become adults, we somehow lose touch of being a child. Because we got work to do, we got school, we got jobs, we got families, and it's so easy to forget about the things that are truly important. And so, you know, as you consider what I've just said about Jesus, and you can't say he was, well, you could say he's a lunatic or a liar, but I want to encourage that there's somebody here. There are people here that need to confess that Jesus is Lord. They need to believe it in their heart and confess it. And God will change your life like you didn't even know. And I would ask everybody to just join in with me in this prayer. Father God, I am a sinner. And you paid the way. You took on my sin that I would become the righteousness of God in Christ. Please forgive me, Lord. The nails in your hands. The cut in your side. Please forgive me, Lord. I receive what you did on the cross. And now I'm your son or daughter. And with every eye closed and every eye closed, if that's the first time you prayed that, would you raise your hand? Amen, 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 amen. Jesus, you are in the business of changing lives, Father God. I thank you that there are people that are being saved. I thank you, Lord. And there are people here that have seen your works, that testify that you are the Son of God. And we sit here and, like me, have been callous, Father God. I pray for us too, that we would be changed, Lord. You call us to go out there and change the world. I love, there's a gentleman in Elevation. I love what he says, and I've said this a few times. So he said that we're not waiting for the move of God. We are the move of God. Be activated, Lord. Be activated. And we have such a great opportunity to go out there and practice it right now. Lord, there's people here that are called to heal. There's people here that are called to put on the oil of gladness for, for mourning. There's people here that they've been seeing the people in their lives. They've been seeing the hurt, the destruction that the enemy's done. And they've wielded the sword and it stayed in its sheath. Father God, I confess on my behalf of myself, on behalf of everyone here. Lord, we say this is enough. Lord, you've given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've given us the Word of God to tell us what we need to be doing. That we need to go out there and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. In Jesus' name, not our own name, Lord. We pick up the sword of the Spirit. We put up our shield of faith, Lord. God, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this stuff will be added to you. Seek him while he may be found. I guess, you know, this is be the ministry time now. So the ministry team, you can come up, please. Father God, my prayer is that you've convicted the hearts. It's not me, Lord, but your words through me, Father God, that you've convicted. There's new believers today right now. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. We lift your name on high. Woo! We cheer like the Dodgers just scored, won the Super Bowl, the World Series, Lord. You won the ultimate prize for us, God, and it's free. All we have to do is believe, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you would bring us here, those that have been convicted, that they need to be taken a step out onto the water. Say, Jesus, is that you? Call me out. Lord, you're going to call them out. You're going to show them what they need to be doing. Lord, I've just given an example of what you've done in my life. You're going to do something awesome through their lives. So if you just prayed the prayer of salvation today, come forward. If you would like, you know, to recommit your life to the Lord, come forward. If you would like to walk in the fullness of God, come forward in Jesus' name.